Grossman. I met Dr. Roger Bruce Lane, the founder of the Cosmos Tree, over 15 years ago when I began taking classes and learning meditation with him. The Cosmos Tree was created in 1978 as a center for personal growth and meditation. This is the Cosmos Tree's third center as it has continued to expand. We offer various classes in dreams, in breaking habitual thoughts and patterns, and learning to use ourselves as the prime resource. Dr. Lane is also the founder of the Center for Religion and Advanced Spiritual Studies, known as CRASS. This has been established for those people who are interested in pursuing a spiritual path. Dr. Lane is a published author. His most recent book is entitled The Money Workbook, based upon the Money Workshop, and this book continues the work of the Money Workshop, which began in 1983 and has been taken by hundreds of people around the country. He has a cable television series entitled Understanding the Spirit You Are, which can be seen on Channel 17 every Tuesday night at 7:30. Dr. Lane is a graduate of the Wharton School of Finance and Commerce. He holds an advanced degree in theology and a doctorate in the combined field of psychology and theology called human services. Dr. Lane will talk on what is loving. I know you will enjoy it and profit greatly from it. It's an honor and a privilege to present Dr. Roger Bruce Lane.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to try to live up to that. I want to talk a little bit about what is loving. Okay, and I know it's tied in with Valentine's Day and chocolates and roses and stuff like that. Okay, but I really want to tie it up with perhaps a bigger framework for love and just give you a couple of keys about it and maybe put it in a certain perspective in terms of what we as human beings consciously view ourselves as and how we view the world as and really our relationship with ourselves and also our relationship with whatever you want to call it, if you want to call it the Lord God or the Force or the Schwartz, you know, whatever, okay? But before I start, I want to dispel any and all rumors, and that there are two rumors circulating which I must deny. Okay, one is I will not sing any Donna Summer songs about what is love, okay? And the second one is I will not sing any Tina Turner songs, okay? So you can rest easily and, all right. Okay, when I decided to give a talk on what is loving, I looked up the word in an etymological dictionary of origins. Where does it come from? To try to get a clue of what is in the word, because the word usually tells us something, okay? And it comes from Old English, and it means very simply being fit for or worthy of love, okay? And that's really the whole crux of the matter, right? And when I say that, I mean in terms of what we in our consciousness hold, because in some fundamental way, we don't believe that. Okay, if you take a quick look, to take a glance at the religions that we have, which really are a reflection of where we are in our own consciousness and how we see ourselves and God, we see something really interesting. In the West, we see that either we're sinners and we're in desperate need of salvation, or we see that we can earn salvation. We have to repent and we have to earn it. We have to atone. Okay? And in the East, we see that in the religions that are based on God, and there are quite a few Eastern religions which are really godless religions, there is no God as the ground of being there, we find something really interesting. Okay? we find that there's an approach to right action or right behavior, or a way of right conduct, basically, and a way to worship ancestors to assure a kind of an immortality. And if you don't do this, okay, what happens? You kind of transmigrate, which means you'll come back as an ant, you know, or a turkey, or a deer if you're lucky. Okay, so that we're always having this relationship which somehow tells us we're not good enough. Okay, and that's kind of the perspective that we all operate from. Okay, as if we have to earn love, we have a conditioned being, and being loved is conditional. It depends upon what we do. Okay, and nothing's farther from the truth. Right, and let me kind of translate it into, I could say, into a more immediate approach, but in reality, there's probably nothing more immediate than God, because He's quicker and closer to you than the tip of your nose. Okay, but let's take what we would recognize as something more immediate and take it psychologically and what that means, okay? When we have, I can see some heads nodding, okay. Okay, now we're getting somewhere, none of this God stuff, okay? But it's interesting because, and this is important too, before I get into it, and that is that psychology originally meant the study of the soul, okay, of the psyche, okay? And that was the true meaning of psychology, all right? And was the true meaning of psyche had to do with soul. What's happened is that the true energy of the spirit that we are has gotten kind of bastardized and has gotten filled with emotions, okay? And what's happened is that we have produced our karma, and we're now studying psychology in the sense that it's used today. We're studying our thoughts and our emotions, okay, as the key, because we've missed the connection, and the connection is really that we are spirit, that we are soul, okay, and that has everything to do with loving, all right, and loving is really, it's a participatory thing. We participate in it. It's not something that we watch, that we observe. And we participate in it actively. We make choices, all right? Let me give you an example. I work with lots of people who are afraid of losing a husband or a wife or losing their job, etc. And they do all sorts of things to manipulate the person or the situation so that they can get the intended results that they want. And they're always exhausted, they're always at the mercy of their spouse, they're always at the mercy of their job, because they have the power outside of themselves. It's in the job. They honestly believe that the job provides income. Okay? It's kind of like turning on the water faucet and saying, well, the water faucet is the source of the water. Well, it's not, okay? It's a conductor for it, and it gets it to you, okay? But if you were to use a water faucet in a next door apartment, for example, in another office, in another city, in another country, you'd get water too. Okay, so we confuse the very outside situation or the person that we've given over the power to with the source of that power. And the power is really in ourselves. Okay? So let me give you an example of something that I see repeatedly. And it usually happens to be with a lot of females that if they are afraid or think they cannot make it on their own, they think they need a husband or a lover or someone out there, okay, to emotionally support them, to financially support them, then they manipulate the situation and the person to get that. And what happens is they keep reinforcing the place in themselves that doesn't think they're good enough. They keep reinforcing their inadequacy. They keep reinforcing their fear. so that even if you win, you lose. Because if your manipulation works, all you've done is put in neon letters, I cannot make it myself. Okay, I am not the source of my power. See, and that's very different from sharing your life from inside out, from being complete. See, and with a lot of men, it's in the situation of a job. You know, when the economy goes to hell, guess who makes a fortune? You know, my psychiatrist friends told me they do very well. You know, they love to see the economy go to hell. Okay? Why? Because a man, for some reason, hooks up his worth with his wallet. And also hooks up his job with the source of his income. Well, that's crazy. See, because unless your boss is a counterfeiter, he's not the source of money. He's not making that money for you, okay? Really, the spirit that you are is the source of it. And if you can totally acknowledge your own power and your own skills, regardless of the economy, you'll be able to do fine. See, I used to think just the opposite. I used to think we were at the dependency of, or at the dependency of the economy. And then in the late 70s, it dawned on me. Here we were in a recession that some economists were even calling a depression. And I never saw so many people drive these big fancy cars. And I wondered, well, if they can do it, how come others can't do it? And I realized that just the fact that some people were doing very well told me that there was nothing inherent in the economic situation to make their situation bad. That it was an attitude in people's response. Just like if people go bankrupt in business, you can have an attitude of, oh my God, I've failed. Or what you can do is say, okay, what have I learned? See, an interesting survey was done, and it said that entrepreneurs have gone bankrupt 7 times before they made and stayed millionaires. And the ones who were entrepreneurs and did not become millionaires, what was the difference? They stopped after 2 or 3 times. See, so it was an attitude approach, and it wasn't giving the power over to the economy or to the situation, but it was keeping it in themselves. See, so loving is participatory, and it's active. See, it's active, and it's moment to moment. It's constant. Okay? Another example of that is, how many of you have gotten angry at somebody? One person, 2, 3, 4, all right, a little bit more honesty. Okay, so maybe half. Okay, that's, you know, hard to believe. But anyway, all right, I'll assume it's that high, all right? So you've gotten angry at someone, all right? And you have 2 choices. You can be vitriolic and come out and punch out at that person, or you can take it as information and come from a loving spot, okay? For example, all right, I'm walking down the street, okay? Now, I don't know if they've done it deliberately. I don't know if it's just the usual New York hustle and bustle, but a big 300-pound guy just smacks right into me, okay? My approach is one of anger, initially. Okay, so I have a choice. I'm at choice. I could use that anger and launch out at that 300-pound desperado, or I could use it as information, and the information would be, you know, I'm going to be more careful and pay more attention and not daydream when I'm walking on the streets of New York. Or if I am always around that 300-pound desperado, I'm going to set limits. Okay, for example, wear bells when you come within 100 yards of me. Shout, scream, do anything so I'll know you're there. Okay, so I'm using the information. Okay, and the thing about it is really that I'm free. See, because if I give over to anger, to not loving, then guess what? I'm hooked into the negativity. I'm hooked into anger. And I'm hooked into the person and the situation that I don't care about, that I don't want to be involved with. See, and then I have a lot of resentment. I can't believe that guy bumped into me. Doesn't he know I once gave a talk, you know, in New York City? I mean, doesn't he know? And I can be full of anger and resentment. And then what have I done? But I've done what the word said. I keep sending out, resending the anger and the negativity. So I'm all involved with this 300-pound desperado that I don't want to be involved with. Okay? Or when my wife asks me, well, do I want to do this? And I'll say no, but I'll do it. Okay? I make a choice. Okay? And I choose to move into doing it. Instead of, yeah, I'll do it, and resent it all the way, and before you know it, I've tripped over myself, chipped my tooth, you know, and broken my ankle, because that's what happens. See, in many of us, particularly in our relationships, we're really unfair. And we're unfair to the people we're involved with because we're unfair to ourselves. And how are we unfair? See, if I were to say, well, would you come with me to the Knick game? And you say, yeah, okay, and you can't stand being there. So I'm sitting next to you, and I feel your anger, I feel your resentment, and then I feel the mustard that squirted all over me, you know, and I feel the soda that's, you know, dripping on me, okay? And that's what so many of us do. We feel that we have to go and do things in order for someone to like us or care about us, or we're going to jeopardize the relationship. Okay? And then you walk around enslaved to it, enslaved in that relationship. And you don't want to do that. And don't you think the person you're busy doing that with knows somewhere? And they know what the balance of power really is like, and they use it. So you are really, really, really putting yourself in bondage all the time that you do that. That's not loving. It's not loving to the other person, but it's not loving to yourself. So loving really means that you have a choice to constantly choose your responses and to let go of the negative emotions that you're feeling, like fear, oh my God, they're not going to like me if I don't go, or oh my God, I won't be okay with, I can't live without him, you know? And it doesn't matter what level it's on. It could have the load of karmic history since you were created, and you can still choose to not be involved with that history, okay? Or you can have a whole 30-year relationship and a whole way of relating and having responses. And you can think, my God, if I change, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be angry at me, or we're going to have a new relationship that they're not going to like. Well, yeah, but then you find out who your friends are. But you give them also an opportunity to learn and grow. You know, and I see this with spouses all the time, that when one spouse changes, the other one is really, really threatened. And some of them go, as they say in French, bat guano, you know, totally crazy. Because they feel scared, the relationship is put in a new level, and they have to come up with a way of relating. But that's what's asked of you if you are coming from a loving place. You need to allow others their freedom. See, in the cosmos tree, we're learning that people are free to respond as they want to respond from their own agenda. And that's okay, and we are going to love them anyway because it's their right to be and do what they need to do. That's fine. There's no need to control. There's no need to do anything about it. And this is key. It's no reflection on us. You see? So many of us, we're trained in mishearing. Our ears don't work. Okay? For example, okay, if someone were to ask me, will you come with to the basketball game with me? And I said no, most likely they would hear it as a rejection, that I don't like them, okay? But all that's true is, I don't want to go to the basketball game. That's all that's true. See, and the real reason is, of course, that I'm jealous of anybody who's got a better jump shot, which is everybody, okay? So you also have to check it out. You have to check it out. You have to see if how you are translating is the reality, you know? And we all come from homes where we were treated in a certain way. And we all thought that how we were treated was a statement about us. And really, it's not. It's not a statement about us. It's really a statement about our parents, or about the one who treated us like that. And they project it onto us. But when we're kids, we're not able to discriminate. We're not able to discern. We don't know that it's really their stuff. We think it has to do with us. Okay? You got a 97 on a test, and your parent says to you, well, how come you didn't get 100? And you translate it as, I'm a dummy. So what will happen is, you'll either be a tremendous overachiever, or you'll be in rebellion and say, screw this, I'll never measure up. See? And we really think that our inability to get 100 had everything to do with us. And now it's our job, as we become more conscious and become adults, to realize, hey, that was my parent's own frustration, or his own perfection, need for perfection. He couldn't, or she couldn't stand when she just got a 97. For whatever her dynamics or his dynamics were, they needed to get 100. So they couldn't accept a 97. And I'm okay with a 97, that's pretty good. Okay. See, and we always have this struggle going on inside of us based on how we've misheard. Are we good enough? Are we not good enough? Are we going to please? Are we not going to please? Okay? And when we move into what is loving, guess what happens? There's no struggle in love. I realize there goes rhythm and blues. There goes most of the great rock and roll songs of the 60s, you know, without the tremendous pain that goes with love. But when you move into what is loving, there isn't any of that. You choose. You actively choose to know that you're okay, and that that's your responsibility. And it really starts with self-acceptance. See, I always thought that the statement to love your neighbor as yourself was a brilliant bit of psychology in a real cynical way, you know? And to me it said, well, how can you love your neighbors? Because look at how you love yourself. You're not going to be able to stand your neighbors because you can't stand yourself. See, and that's true. Okay, and loving ourselves starts with acceptance. It doesn't mean we have to like that part, but we have to accept it. And when we accept it, guess what happens? A paradoxical thing happens. We can change that part much quicker. Because if we don't like it and we have a judgment on it, guess what? We're stuck with the judgment. We got a crystallization going. So then we have to deal with the crystallization. And it doesn't work when we do that. But if we can accept the part that we don't like, make it okay, then we don't have to deal with our judgment. And it makes it easier. Okay? For example, okay, I think I'm underweight. Okay? So I have two choices. Somebody's thinking, is he kidding? Nah. Okay. I'm underweight. And I have two choices to this approach. Okay? And the approach is, I can have a judgment on myself, or I can accept it. And the judgment, well, what's the matter with me? How come and do-do-do-do, how come and do-do-do, you know? And keep laying trips on myself. What's the matter with me? And et cetera, et cetera. Then I have to deal with that. And in addition to that, I have to gain weight. See, and I really suggest we do the easy approach, the lazy person's approach. And that is lay off the judgments. Because if I can accept just how underweight I am, all I have to do is deal with gaining weight. I don't have to deal with the judgments. See, and that's crucial. And when we move into what is loving, it's an active thing we do within ourselves where we actively choose to forego judgments. Judgments are key, see, because judgments are exactly what's going to stop you, okay, from the spiritual reality that you are, because it is set up that that's the block. See, and it's interesting that we've kind of caught it in some way, because when we take a look at Western religion, we really believe there's a God up there judging us, and we have to measure up. But all that is a projection of ourselves, that we judge ourselves. See, we judge ourselves. And we have found ourselves not good enough. See? And the real truth is that we're just fine. But we have to choose that knowing. We have to choose to know that. Okay? And many of us play a game. And that is, well, I've been so wrong for so long, why should I change? I have too much invested in this. You know, my broker is going to recommend that I keep this investment going. Okay, but you see, it's not a question of wrong or right, or having to make ourselves wrong when we change, that we've been wrong all this time until now, that it was right as far as we knew, and now we're doing what's right now. Or many of us, our way of loving is we honestly think if we could keep beating ourselves up as we were beaten up, that we're honoring the relationships that we had with our parents or with significant others, etc. So we're going to keep it going. And if we decide to stop it, we feel disloyal. We feel orphaned. We feel like we're not loving our parents like we should, if we don't have the same judgments. See, so really, loving ourselves also means having the courage to let go of whatever history you have, whatever frame of reference you have, whatever way of relating you have that doesn't work for you. And you have to look at it objectively. You know, do I want to continue this? Does this work for me? Do I like to treat myself this way? Do I like to treat myself as I've been treated? You really have to take a look at that, okay? And see, there's another thing about judgments too, you know, and basically it's real simple. It's by your judgments that you're caught karmically, okay? And your judgments are the karma that you're responsible for, okay? And from another perspective of your life as a soul, which is really what you are, your judgments are the very thing that stop you from entering into the kingdom of the spirit that you are. And you can do it while you're in the body. You can do it here. Okay? You can totally do it. But your judgment is what separates you from yourself. And guess who's doing it? You are. We are. Okay? And if you extrapolate from this, guess what you see? You see that we feel like we're separate from the power that is the Lord God or the force or the Schwartz. We think we're separate. But all that is a mirroring of our own separation from ourselves. And when we're in loving, this veil of separation doesn't exist. You see? It doesn't exist. And this veil makes it look like we live in time and space. You see? And this guy came, well, I don't know, 2,000 years ago and said something like, you know, you're free, and everybody worships this guy. Regardless of not in a religious way, but in a spiritual approach. And isn't it easier to worship this guy and think, oh, it's true for this guy, and not realize it's true for us. But it is true for us, see, and that's our nature, that we are free. And when we love ourselves, we have to choose our freedom. How do we choose our freedom? Well, simply, we get back to, for example, the example with the desperados. I'm choosing my freedom. When I choose to, I'm going to be angry. See, it's okay to have a negative response, but it's where you're going to keep your consciousness focused, where you're going to be focused. But when I choose to focus it positively and use it as information, okay, I'll be more careful walking the streets, or if that desperado is going to be around me all the time, we'll have some ground rules. Okay, so I'm working it nice and positively. I'm choosing freedom. Okay, when I choose to respond to you in a way that doesn't manipulate you to keep you around because I'm afraid of losing you because I'm nothing without you, when I choose to know that I'm okay with you and I'm okay without you, yeah, my preference is to be with you, but I'm okay either way, I'm choosing freedom. I'm choosing not to manipulate you, okay? When I choose to be okay with getting a 97 rather than 100, and I choose that, I'm choosing to be free. But when I judge myself for getting only a 97, I'm creating bondage. See, this is crucial. I'm creating bondage. You know, and we got, what, Easter and Passover? That's an event in the Western world. That's nothing else but a story of freedom. Okay? We're all slaves in Egypt. Okay? That represents our slavery to our own judgments, our own karma that we've created. Okay? How do we get free? Okay? We have to walk across the desert. What's the desert? Desert's real simple. Okay? It's called this life. And how do you enter that which is, or the spirit? But you have to receive the spirit that you are. And how do you receive the spirit? Each moment. You receive the spirit when you make a decision for freedom. Now, we're not talking about going into a church or a mosque or cemetery or a synagogue or a seminary or anything like that, you know, and get the spirit, you know? I'm not talking about that. We don't need to do that. Okay? We are that church. We are that synagogue. It's in us, you know? And what we have to do is we have to minister to that. And it's by loving that we do that. Okay? Now, also, you need to watch the context that you work it from. Okay? For example, if you were crossing the street either against the light or I saw a car come careening down the street, I may yell your name, I may push you out of the way or whatever in a very probably abrasive, curt manner. And so many of us will say, well, gosh, that couldn't have been loving because look what happened. Look what he did. You know, he pushed me or he yelled at me or something like that. And we've taken the context and misused it, okay? And the context needs to be, well, gosh, there was a car coming and I was going to be hit, see? And many of us, when we live our lives, we have a tendency to think that we've been mistreated or life's done us dirt. And we've laid all sorts of judgments on how life has worked for us, okay? And that's one of the things we need to let go of, too, when we talk about actively participating, okay? Actively participating in loving. We work it positively. All right? And see, this is kind of a dangerous thing to say, but when we actively love, guess what disappears? Being a victim. Okay? We cannot be a victim if we are actively loving. Okay? If we're being responsible to ourselves, we cannot be a victim because we cannot be at the mercy of anything or anyone. Or if we are, then we use that for our learning and we don't judge ourselves for having that experience. See? And also, another thing about loving is that there always, always, always a need for eternal vigilance. You work it constantly. And there are many levels of this beast. You know, you get finely attuned, more finely attuned, and more finely attuned, and you work it. See? And I think the bottom line of it all is, how much do we love ourselves? How worthy do we think we are? Okay? Because there's something in us as people that's been placed there. That is the big illusion of separation, that we think we are unworthy. We think we're not good enough. Okay? Well, but let me ask you something. If you're not good enough, okay, and we all claim to be rational-minded people, particularly in the West, then how can you be created in God's image? You can't, see? Or what you're doing is saying that God's wrong. See, and I'm above God. I really know the truth. I really know that I'm really lousy. I'm made of junk. See? But we're created in His image, which means that we are of the same spiritual reality, you know, the same spiritual material as Lord God. That's our nature. Not because I say so, or not because, I don't know if a church says it or any religion, but because it really is so. That's our nature, okay? That's who we are. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's who we are. That's a simple statement. We haven't understood the truth of that yet, but the real truth is that we are the Spirit that the Lord God is. And if we are that Spirit, then how can we be no good? How can we be inadequate? How can we not measure up? You see? And, you know, we're accepted just as we are. We're fine. We're forgiven before we ask. The problem is, we don't forgive ourselves. We keep constantly, constantly, constantly giving ourselves the business. And that's what we need to let go of. We need to let go of the judgment. We need to let go of the hurt. We need to let go of the pain. You know? And it's constant. In my own life, I've been letting go of hurt from a situation that's gone on for a long, 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 long time. And I keep working it. And every time that comes up for me, I don't judge it. I don't think I shouldn't have that response. Okay? Because it goes with the territory. But I'm going to use it to lift, and I'm going to be a choice. See, and it's important to know that we have a choice. We do not have to run negative emotions. We do not have to run fear. We do not have to run hurt. We don't have to run judgments. We don't have to do any of that stuff. We could choose love. And who's the love for? It's for us. See? And it's really interesting that when I've kind of studied people involved in a real love relationship, I found one thing common. That when the person in love with the other person was feeling all that loving, what it was that person gave him or herself permission to be in love. And it happened to take place with that other person. And any person that I've ever worked with and has understood this, they've all come to one realization. And they seem shocked by it initially, but they know the truth of that. And that is that the love isn't really emanating from the other person, or because the other person loves them, they love them, or anything else like that. It's somewhere they allow the loving in them, and then they say, well, you know what? I don't have to be so restrictive. I could feel that same loving inside myself all the time. And yeah, you can. Okay? And that's really the message and the good news, is that you can choose that all the time. And that's your freedom. See? No one ever tells us we're free. No one ever tells us we're okay. No one ever tells us we're loved. No one ever tells us that there's mercy and kindness here. No one ever tells us that. We're told just the opposite. And we live just the opposite. Okay? And it's your responsibility. Okay? It's your responsibility to live from a place of love, from a place of choice, from a place of knowing that you're okay. Okay, and I'm going to pull rank here for a moment, and I'm going to give you some homework that you're welcome to do, okay? And I know that you're going to be good, responsible students, right? Like you always are. Sure, right? Okay, and that is, I just want you to pick two or three or four situations when you would respond negatively and just alter the response and choose to drop it and respond positively or neutrally, okay? Let me give you an example, okay? You back into me, you hit my car, etc., etc. I could choose to be really angry with you, but I'm still gonna have to get the insurance information, follow through, take it to the auto repair shop, etc., etc., okay? And for weeks or months, what's going to happen is there's going to be a part of me that goes, I can't believe she hit me. What the hell's the matter with me? And I'll keep it going, and I'll keep going, keep it going, and I'll keep the negativity going. And every time it comes up, you're asked to choose to just drop it. Okay? Not because of the person that hit you, but because of you. Okay? I've heard so many people say, well, I won't forgive Harry, or I won't forgive Peter, or I won't forgive Sue. I don't want to let them get away with it. It's not a question of their getting away with it. You know, no one gets away with anything, I guarantee you. But it's not a question of that. It's a question of you're choosing to be free of Harry or Peter or Susan. And when you forgive, that's what you're doing. You're forgiving yourself that loving. And that's really what's needed. Okay? So just to kind of go through a few of the keys again, all right? Loving, it's a participatory approach, and it's an active one. And you choose it moment to moment. You do it consciously. Okay? It's a way of being responsible to yourself, a way of responding, really, to the spirit that you are. And it really calls for eternal vigilance. Okay? So those are five basic keys. And I don't really care what area of life you work it in. Okay? But this is really the basic ground of being. See? And if we extrapolate from this, that's how we're going to get peace. We're not going to get peace because someone refuses to fight. That doesn't work. Okay, because that's reinforcing the fear and the fighting. You know, I've been to too many parts of the world where I've suggested, well, what about if you just don't fight the enemy? And the response was always the same. Yeah, but look what they're going to do. But then you're into giving your power over, and you're into fear, and you're into negativity, and you've been had by yourself. So when you choose loving, you choose to stay within the integrity of your being, and reaffirming that you are that spirit, that you are free, and that you are that love. Because it all starts with us. It starts with each and every one of us, and it ends with us, you know? And in this world, we're so directed to thinking it all comes from the outside, etc., etc., and the outside is going to supply us, but it doesn't work that way. Okay? We need to learn to live from inside out. And when we learn to love ourselves, we learn to do that. And when we live from inside out, we live freely. Okay? And it's really as simple as that. Okay? And I'll stop.